unheardnerd.com.
Oh my God. Put him on just to see his potential.
Okay, you know the rules. Never pass for. Here's what you ask for.
Put him on just to see his potential.
Flavorless, you can taste it.
Live from the street.
Please, make it faster.
I can rip the whole car. Quit jumping with the animal kingdom.
Snap your hands if you're with me.
Put him on just to see his potential.
Okay. Word to the Nerd, and welcome to the Unheard Nerd Podcast. I'm your host, Will, bringing you a thought criminal special this week. There's an awful lot to get through. I chatted with Sulphur and Michael Kill of the Thought Criminals earlier in the week, so we've got a full interview looking at the past, present and future. So we're going to kick off with a track by the Thought Criminals. This is from the Game Changer EP, and this is Feel Good Song.
Yo. Little bit of personal history here. Stop rapping forever. In 1993, I was already writing rhymes. Rapping on interludes, spread across CDs of mine. Didn't know shit about nothing at all. But under it all, we were still straight up living small. But it's alright, playing games on the 486. Radio Shack mic, a mixer wouldn't mix. OG software producer, juicer got eyebrows, crazy like a trooper. I made beats on Windows 3.1. Rock of the PC, shutting it down, son to one. The only incredible rhyme animal. And in the late 90s, started rapping like a cannibal. Been doing this so long, don't know what else to do. Other than keep being way fucking better than you. So shout out to my crew, those that came and went. Unless he used my beats without permission on some fucking bullshit. This is a feel good jam. I hope you like it. It feels real good, right? This is a feel good jam. I hope you like it. It feels real good, right?
Sneaking out late night, straight out of my room. Face pressed against the glass to hear that bass boom. Parents asleep deep undercover shit. Getting caught watching your raps, doping the fear. But that spit, it stuck, no bucks, growing older. Making plans to build stands, calculate the cold. Up and shoulder the boulders, refusing to crumble. All you caught is these nuts, everything else bumble. That's cool, come to shows and we'll meet you in the middle. This ain't to make you feel little, small, the second fiddle. There's no riddle. Ever since I was in high school, rapping along to other songs, acting a fool, uncool, never cared, prepared to rock your face. Every kid in the place, like you got hit with mace. We leaving crowds bumping, uncontrollable motions, getting real loud, always causing commotions.
This is a feel good jam. I hope you like it. It feels real good, right? This is a feel good jam. I hope you like it. It feels real good, right?
Every track on this show is going to be by Michael Kill, by Sulphur, or by the pair together as the Thought Criminals. And earlier in the week, I got to sit down and have a chat with them via the wonders of Skype. We chatted about the past, the present, and the future of the Thought Criminals and their solo projects as well. So sit back, relax, here's that interview. Joining me today are the Thought Criminals. There's Michael Kill and Sulphur. How you doing, guys?
Hello.
Great.
Good, good. Michael, I've just discovered, is in, where are you, Charlotte? It's Carolina? Oh, I've forgotten already.
Yeah, I'm actually north of Charlotte, North Carolina, but Charlotte is the general vicinity.
And Sulphur, whereabouts are you?
I am straight up in Charlotte.
He's more in Charlotte than I am.
Yeah. Michael's like about 25 minutes north in Kannapolis.
And so you guys hang out on a regular basis? You just hang out in general?
As best we can. It's hard these days.
Yeah, that's true.
Between work and school and music, it's 9 times out of 10 when we get together now, we have to do music stuff. So.
And of course, Michael, you're a family man, as I know. You've got a daughter and a son. Is that correct?
Yeah, I do indeed.
We've discussed Peppa Pig via Twitter.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah, my son just discovered Peppa Pig. My daughter's kind of getting over it, but now my son loves it. So,
Well, it's my youngest daughter's birthday next month, and last year we took her to Peppa Pig World, which over here it's a big amusement park, all Peppa Pig. You know, you walk through it, basically looks like the cartoon, the whole place, and it's amazing. We went out of school time because we were able to then. And it was pretty empty, and we had a really nice day. It was beautiful weather in March. So yeah, I know all about Peppa Pig. Sulfur, are you a family man?
Somewhat, kind of.
I mean, he has a lot of illegitimate children.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, all across the nation, really. Nah, I live with my girl, man, and she has a 6-year-old son, so I've been living with them the past couple of years, but I am not a family man of any kids of my own. That I know of course.
There's four of them out there somewhere. Raphael, Leonardo and Michelangelo. Of course, you're a massive Turtles fan, Sulfur, as I'm well aware.
Oh yeah, yeah. Just a little bit, you know, just a little bit of a Turtles fan.
you wrote very kindly for our website the Rappers Reviews Comics, because you're the only one that's done it so far. I've put feelers out to other people, but they just haven't come back. But you wrote a really cool review on the IDW publishing series.
Yes, sir.
And I'm starting to get hooked on that myself. I checked out the first episode for free, which is on Comixology, and now I get sort of review copies of the collected editions. So I've just got through volume 4, Sins of Our Fathers.
Nice.
And yes. I really, really enjoyed that. But the review copies I get are like basic line drawing and basic colored artwork. It's not the finished artwork.
Oh, wow. Gosh, that's crazy.
It's kind of weird. It's not at all what I was expecting, because the cover's there, and then you open it up, and it's literally just like a draft copy.
Oh, wow.
That's kind of awesome, actually.
Yeah, that's dope. I'd love to see that.
It's pretty cool. I'm not allowed to send it to you, but...
Oh, nah, it's cool. Yeah, yeah. But when we're off the record, you're totally going to send it, right?
Like... Absolutely, yeah. IDW have just barred me from their list.
Yeah, nah, I'm just playing. I am a pretty big Turtles fan. I'm not going to lie about it. I got a Turtles half sleeve. I'm looking at Turtles shit all over my walls. Written like 3 Turtles songs now, roughly. It's a little bit of fanboyish, you know, fandom kicking. So
and Michael, what kind of obsessions do you have?
Like weird Japanese porn. Nah, not really. I'm not really into.
It doesn't have to be Japanese.
It's weird. Weird porn, really. I don't know. I mean, obviously, video games, like retro video games, especially like old NES titles and stuff. I don't have anything anymore other than video games that I obsessively collect. I used to collect a lot of comics. I used to have a lot of things I was really into obsessively collecting until I didn't have money to buy them with anymore.
Yeah.
Which is usually how it goes once you get married and have kids.
Well, exactly. Yeah, I feel you. I mean, I've recently sort of rediscovered comics, and I've gone in deep. I'm just buying, you know, comics after comic every week, digital versions, you know, paper copies. And I just realized I got a big pile stacking up next to my bed where I read them at night.
Nice.
I'm thinking, how long is it before my wife divorces me?
Actually, now that I think about it, I guess like my current thing is like indie games.
Oh yeah,
really? Like indie video games has been like a fixation of mine for a while. Outside of music, I mean, music is obviously for both of
yeah,
us,
yeah,
a
yeah,
constant thing. Foremost. But like indie video games is really like I'm a fan of developers, specific indie developers, like I am of musicians, like Indie Spirit.
This division epitome of introspection, outspoken introvert, circle of protection. Thinking back and now I got here, losing focus. Stone bruises on the corpse's beard. Standing in the frame, no tears and lost fears. Once I learned to read the vultures that surround me here, my hand was outstretched, yours brushed my neck. I quickly saw this wasn't shared respect. In no time flat, confirmed direction, never going. Might need to check your makeup, put your scales and show us. So with your life raps capsized, I'd be set at my
slow, this wave it at last. Goodbye, enjoy your trip, cause it is a long way down. And I guess at least you keep civilly in the ground. And you do you, and I do me. Just remember what you conveyed last time you said we. And I know you think you mean well and things are fine. And I know you're feeling entitled, but these things are mine. You can have the moment, but that's it. This is our time, 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 our time.
Gotta make this quick because I am running late again. No breaks, Carolyn, no rest for a white skin. Sometimes I wonder if it's even worth it. You can catch me sleeping while I'm resting in the dirt. And if I'm mad, 14 minutes, 59 seconds. Use my last bit of fame producing 59 records. Can't let you forget about me. Not to boost the self-esteem, what would you do without me? From the critical hit, got you throwing a fit. This hobby isn't right for you, maybe learn how to knit. All alone with a mission while you're bitching in the kitchen. Redefining definitions while you're doing the dishes. Cause it is my time in the sun, look at your watch. A creeper cannot touch me, homie, shout out to Notch. Got it tight like chainmail, can't fail. And I gotta erupt before this world tells me time's up.
And I know you think you're mean, well, and things are fine. And I know you're feeling entitled, but these things are mine. You can have the moment, but that's it. This is our time, 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 our time.
Our time. Time coming out a short while, running in those that think we're bluffing. Get your side up a bludgeon, cause I'm loving haters, bear hug they neck. There's not a single beer, their G is gonna resurrect. I've been tempered while they whimpered how they have not. I've been counting blessings, recollecting what I do got. And I've seen so many sad times, I ain't trying to hear any sad depressed rhymes across lines. Just to find a place up it in and kicked it with Oscar blowing smoke at the trash bin. But no, within, I've always had heart and grew thick skin, so none ripped it apart from the start. You've always had the wrong destination, and now you wonder why I'm wrapped in hesitation. But this is separation from me to you. Well, some never do, I was born to follow through.
And I know you think you mean well and things are fine. And I know you're feeling entitled, but these things are mine. You can have the moment, but that's it. This is our time, 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 our time.
Who are your influences musically?
Me specifically?
Yeah, yeah. Let's start with you, Michael.
The Beatles is the biggest one, probably. Like, everything traces back to there. And then I originally started wanting to rap from the time I was like 5 or 6. I mean, I was putting together little cassette recordings of me and my brother doing rap songs and stuff. But the Beatles are the big, like, I don't know. It was like the musical explosion for me when I was like 13 or 14. That was the biggest thing. And stuff like Elliott Smith. Mm. There's a lot of like 90s lo-fi stuff that I was really into, which also, I mean, I listened to rap the whole time too, but as far as like influence on the way I play instruments and record music, a lot of like lo-fi indie stuff was a big impact on me. Like stuff like Beck or Elliott Smith himself, he was definitely an example.
I think that sort of that influence comes across in your music to an extent, and certainly, you know, when I realized that you were you played multiple instruments, or not at the same time, obviously, but you play a number of instruments. it kind of made sense. But I don't get that background coming from Sulfur. So correct me if I'm wrong, Sulfur. What's your musical influence, and what's your background in music?
My musical influence is a little different than Michael, for sure. I'd say in more, well, recent quote-unquote times, you know, like somebody like Dell is one of my favorite MCs, and his pronunciation and just delivery of vocals and whatnot influenced me a lot. Brother Ali, I'm not a huge fan of, but I'm a huge fan of his delivery, you know. And so, like, people like that that have, like, an interesting flow, or not just flow, but, like, you know, an interesting delivery to what they're saying really grabbed me a lot. When I was a kid, man, I really looked up to my cousin a lot, and he kind of is who got me into rap. But when I was a kid, it was like all about West Coast, like Ice-T, maybe some shit like that. And so that's kind of what kicked me off, I suppose. On a production or a musical standpoint, and it's not even hip hop, but just somebody I've always looked up to was like Trent Reznor, something like that. Like, if I could get an album produced by Trent Reznor and rap over that shit, that's the dream right there. I mean, it's musically amazing to me. But I don't play as many instruments as Michael. I don't keep up with it as much. I try. And I have a lot of fun with it. Yeah, but, yeah. You know, I'm a master of none.
Kind of. Yeah, I think that's actually a thing for me is that I'm always really drawn to producers. Like Danny Automator is like a huge influence on me. And
well, yeah.
DJ Muggs, at least when he was still actually producing his own stuff up until like the second record from Cyber Soul, House Pain and Funk Dubious, like that stuff's a huge influence on me. And Trey Reznor that Sean mentioned, Trey Reznor is a huge influence on what I do with production. Like you used to be able to tell more. I think a lot of my old demos had a way more industrial vibe to the drums. RZA is another example, like his production.
Well, I kind of guess that there was a Nine Inch Nails influence to your work, Michael, with the song is it Mr. Self-Destruct?
Yeah, yeah.
A bit of a clue.
What gave that away?
Yeah.
I never really was a fan of Nine Inch Nails until I saw them live.
Really?
And that's when I really got Nine Inch Nails, and then as a result, you know, looked at more work by Trent Reznor. I still wouldn't say I'm a massive fan or you know, would know a lot of his work in particular, but I certainly appreciated what he does a lot more after seeing him live.
His lyrics are like just absolutely embarrassing. Like the stuff he says is appalling and infantile frequently, but the music is amazing.
And some of his instrumental stuff is the stuff that I've enjoyed most.
Yeah, yeah.
And some bluesy screams, it means nothing.
Ain't nobody even bothers to this.
It means nothing. And we're barely within his vision. Got them cracked hands working at 9 to grind. Another leg off coming, he push it back out of his mind. It's fine as long as there's a mic stand to grab. Couple more years, call his knee chow.
Just above his hands.
Okay, so we know a little bit about you two individually now and where you come from musically. How did you meet?
Well, that's a good story.
Yeah.
One you haven't told before, I imagine.
Yeah.
No. I was just going to say how we were actually in the same place at the same time before, and we never even had met each other yet. But I got this opportunity years ago to beatbox behind Buddy Wakefield, who was a slam poet, I believe. But he was touring with Sage Francis at the time. He hit up people local to the areas they were touring in, you know, to ask about beatboxers for part of his performance. So I got the opportunity to beatbox for him in Chapel Hill, which is, you know, a couple hours out from here, and also Atlanta. But at the Chapel Hill show, Michael was in the audience. I had no idea. So, you know, we were we had been in the same spots before we had ever met, but we never actually met till I hit up on that website. It's so old, man, MySpace. Y'all remember that one?
I hear that's making a comeback.
Oh, yeah, I heard it's a zombie. That's what they literally advertise it as, a zombie, right? Like the MySpace. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, when we were at South by, they had people in like zombie outfits with shirts on that said MySpace is dead that were advertising the relaunch of MySpace. Anyway, sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. You're good. But yeah, I hit him up on MySpace or whatever and just complimented him on his music. I was actually got really hooked on a song, I Think I'm Going Away, from Michael's This Is Not an Entrance. Still to this day, love that track. So. I just complimented him and big upped him, and he saw I lived in the same area and hit me up, and you know, we threw down one time. It's been kind of on board ever since. So
actually, you had written a blog entry.
Oh, is that what
and
it was?
You had mentioned the song. You had mentioned a song by me and like maybe like two other songs by two other people who were local to the area, and I think I messaged you because my name had came up on like a Google alert, and that's how I'd found it.
Yeah, this man, let me tell you, this man is a fucking ninja. Don't mention him on the internet and think he ain't going to find out about it, because he will find that shit out.
Yeah, at least at this point, hopefully eventually I'll get too famous to be able to do that anymore. But it hasn't happened yet. So.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to cancel that website, Michael Kill Sucks.
No, I'm on board. Let's make that work.
let's make this happen.
But well, I mean, you started making music together, but originally, before you killed them, there were more members of the Thought Criminals, weren't there?
Yeah, there were. I had this like rocket that I just sort of crammed them all into and fired it into space. a long time ago, there was another rapper in the Thought Criminals before Sean.
Yeah.
And originally the Thought Criminals started out as, originally I had a group called Kill Morgan. This is getting into the much longer story of how the Thought Criminals created.
That's what the people want to hear.
But the Thought Criminals originally started as a backing band to do like my solo stuff. I had a group called Kill Morgan, like around 99, 2000, I guess, with the guitarist Kevin Morgan. We had split up, and when we split up, I started doing stuff with this producer from Florida under the name of the Thought Criminals, and we did like one CD's worth of material, and then he just vanished. And then I had sort of abandoned the idea of doing more Thought Criminal stuff since the producer had disappeared, and I was working on my solo album, This Is Not an Entrance, at the time. And I put together a band with Kevin Morgan from Kill Morgan to do the stuff live that I was doing for that album, because the whole idea with it was it was going to be like stuff that was somewhere between Elliott Smith and Nine Inch Nails with rapping on it. So we started doing shows that way, and I met the other MC that wound up in Thought Criminals for a little bit that way, because he saw us at a coffee shop because we had like this weekly poetry event we played at. Basically, it changed from Zombie Kill to the Thought Criminals whenever it started being its own thing more and stopped just being my backing band.
Well, and they were still on board surely as late as, I mean, you recorded this live album.
We kept doing stuff with the live band for a really long time, and my guitarist, this guitarist, Kevin Morgan, but he had to bow out for personal reasons, and once he couldn't do it anymore, it was kind of like, well, maybe we should reevaluate how we're doing things, because there was other people still playing with us, but they had another project, and at that point, we just made a decision that it was just going to move forward with just the two of us.
Yeah,
the other guys we're still cool with or whatever. They have another project that they are still doing. So.
Yeah,
yeah.
For me personally, what drew me to the Thought Criminals, and I didn't really discover you until 2011, was traditional instrumentation mixed with a bit of chip tunes and the rapping that I've in the past maybe compared to Optimus Rhyme as they were. I don't think that's necessarily a straight comparison, but I think it's quite complimentary. Certainly that.
It's one we've heard a lot too. Actually,
I think it was exemplified on that live album, which was, if I'm not wrong, it was called Nevermore Live at the Raven. Was it?
It was Whatevermore.
Whatevermore. Yeah. So, well, that's right. I did say correct me, and yeah.
But I really, really, really enjoyed that album, and sort of worked backwards from that, really, I suppose.
It's my favourite. With a psychic attack, kills back out to try to change the world. No, once around it was three boys and a girl. This time four MCs with their verbal brain freeze, making it back and bringing the cosmos back to the knees. A season dividends by ATM Makata, got no father putting it down. You know what it's about.
Earthbound Zero, starring the hero with the worst of it. Aliens, some evil trying to best control the universes. Never easy being a kid, much less dealing with people bigger than you, not having much success. Unless 18 and S can do all the things sick inside to program. Mother Mary singing the melodies in the form of slow jam. My father calling and can't reach me, receive a drop from his hand. I'm busy rocking with the thought criminals, man. Like the first to step up and threaten our universe. Kids kick like a freestyle, never rehearsed. The worst is yet to come, but it'll all be fine. Cause the level on our rhyme is like 99. I'm the first to step up and threaten our universe. Kids kick like a freestyle, never rehearsed. The worst is yet to come, but it'll all be fine. Lord, rhyme, it's like 99, always on it.
Hey yo, on it is in trouble.
So I pulled the sword of King straight out of the rubble, burst your bubble. Cause this time Pokey ain't escaping. And I know Jesse coming on me, don't stop. The tape is scraping up money just to buy that jar of deli sauce. Sucks to be broke, trying to fend off the last boss. But it's a small cost by having the power to rock the mic like Star Storm at any hour.
I'm 50 gallons to get the level, but never my bits hit the stick. The chosen four, we roll the ball through the thick and thin. The buyer thin, guys coming with the lion and a shot from a fireman. If anybody's wild, man, level up till it max out. Sell out at crack house, get mad, fucked up and black out. The best MC and the best producers all earthbound. It's like Ness and Lucas,
the first to step up into the NI universe. Kids kick like a freestyle, never rehearsed. The worst is yet to come, but it'll all be fine. Cause the level on our rhyme is like 99. First to step up and threaten our universe. Kids kick like a freestyle, never rehearsed. The worst is yet to come, but it'll all be fine. Cause the level on our rhyme is like 99. But first to step up and threaten our universe. Kids kick like a freestyle, never rehearsed. The worst is yet to come, but it'll all be fine. Cause the level on our rhyme is like 99. The first to step up and threaten our universe. Kids kick like a freestyle, never rehearsed. The worst is yet to come, but it'll all be fine. Cause the level on our rhyme is like 99.
Thank you very much. We are the motherfucking Dog Criminals. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have had between you an awful lot of music in, yeah. I'd say, well, the last sort of 3 or 4 years. So let's go through a few of those. I mean, obviously, this is not an entrance. I presume predates everything.
Yeah. Well, it sort of does, but it didn't come out for a really long time. Like, I'd started that record in 2004 or 5, and I recorded like 40 tracks for it probably, and then I think it's only 12 tracks on the final version.
Right.
It was one that like was kind of, I was a truck driver when I started it, and it was sort of just plagued by delays because I never had time to record when I was home, but I was always writing new music. So
yeah,
it predates everything, but it didn't come out until after some of the other stuff. So.
Okay. Well, let's have a look at these albums and afterwards you give me your thoughts on some of them. So Together as the Thought Criminals, we've got in 2010, Still Standing.
Mm.
Cold Winter is in March 2011.
Mm.
Vault 13 is May 2011. And the Game Changer EP in July 2012. Was that the last release you did together, Sulfur?
Is the Thought Criminals, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the last one we have is the Thought Criminals. We're all over each other's stuff, so it's
kind of... Well, yeah, exactly.
It's kind of tough.
Exactly. Yeah. But it seems, yeah, I wasn't sure, but I thought that was the case, that you haven't really done anything together as the Thought Criminals since then. But, my God, you've made up for it in other projects.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to do the list here, Michael, and again, correct me if I miss anything. So we've mentioned This Is Not an Entrance, but we've got Dust and the instrumentals.
Yeah.
that accompanied us. Level 31, which is was that an EP or it was a short EP, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's just like a 5-track EP that went with the shirt, basically.
Yeah, and I want to give props to Cosmic Bushel on Twitter at this point, because he buys pretty much everything you do, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And I think he's bought that shirt recently.
Yeah.
he's got fantastic taste in music. If you ever check out his Bandcamp collection, then I give props to him for that. Retro City Rampage with Vince Vandal.
Yeah.
Has another EP in October 2012. Byproduct with Romero Shaw in December 2012. These are the release dates from Bandcamp, whether they actually made then or not. The Walking Dead. October 2012. So that's before Byproduct. So The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And sometime in amongst all that, you did the Brown Coats mixtape with Adam Warrock.
Yeah, I did the Brown Coats mixtape with Adam Warrock, and we also did. Now it's going to be totally revealed that I don't know how to pronounce the name of it, but La Boheme.
I say La Boheme, but I don't know.
I don't know what's right. I don't know what's right at all. We did that, which was commissioned by Opera Memphis.
Yeah, which is awesome, because they follow me on Twitter now.
nice. But they commissioned that from us. We did those things, and then there's been a bunch of like podcast themes and stuff that me and Warrock have done in the interim too.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're almost as prolific as he is. I mean, he writes songs in his sleep, and
yeah, I think if I did stuff over like he does like a lot of mixtapes where he raps over like industry beats and stuff.
Mm.
Usually, if I'm doing production, like I get like all original production on everything. But that was one of the things that made me and him actually become friends and start working together on a lot of stuff, is that both of us do write so fast that it's super easy for us to crank out, you know, an EP of songs.
Yeah. So we'll come back and look at some of those in more detail, but I want to move on to Sulfur's solo projects.
Yeah.
And you kind of rounded 2012 or bookended it in a way with Entropy at the beginning. In January, and am I saying it right? Serious Face.
Yeah, you're saying it right. That's it.
Yeah, you spelt it really text speak.
It's elite speak.
Exactly. Serious Face Volume 1 in December 2012, rounding off the year. And you've got Adam Warrock on that as well, and a few other guests too. Entropy was based on personal experience, is that fair to say?
You know, maybe not quite personal experience.
No,
but definitely some imagination, you know, put myself in the shoes, but not personal experience as of yet. I'd hope to keep it
up. I'm obviously not paying enough attention, but I tell you what made me think that was really the video. Was it for 1945?
Okay. Yeah.
And that was filmed in the house that you lived in that burnt down. Is that right?
The song itself wasn't really drawn from that scene. But that scene of my house burned down was like the perfect visual depiction of what I was going for in that song. And just, you know, that song is kind of like waking up the day after the bombs drop, basically. You know, you're still alive, however much you can gauge alive in, you know. But it's kind of like picking up the fragments, you know, and looking outside, and that's, you know, my house had burned down probably 2-3 months prior, you know, and it just fit.
And you were living in the house when it burned down?
Yeah, I was living in the house. It's not a good scene, man. It was actually my parents' house, and I had not lived with them for years and had to move in for a few months, and I was between places. Yeah, the house burned down while I was there, electrical fire, so... It was tough for them, tough for me, you know, but I, you know, it was something I had plugged in the wall. So I feel like a total asshole on it. They're cool. You know, I couldn't ask for better parents. They didn't like, you know, assault me physically or anything. But yeah, it was some shit. It happened while I wasn't there. So really, you know, my mom, and my dog got out fine. And that's really all that matters in the end of it. So,
yeah.
they might not feel the same way. They might miss their couches and shit like that, you know.
Presumably they're fine now and set up elsewhere and
yeah, they're good.
Because I like a happy ending.
Yeah. No, there's a happy ending, man. It's all good. So
okay. And Serious Face, is that's just a collection of songs, or is there a theme to this?
There's not really much of a theme, and that's kind of the point in a way, man. Because Entropy was so thematic. It was very heavy with all of that, and a lot of the music I write isn't that, you know. So I wanted to put out something that was a little more lighthearted. And particularly, you know, I write a lot of songs through the year just because I'll hear a beat, I'm inspired to write to it, you know. And a lot of times it'll be like about a video game, it'll be something very lighthearted like that. So some of those songs I already had through the year. Some of the ones that are going on the next volume I wrote last year, and I've still had, you know, I just decided to put them on the next. But I think there's only one serious song on all of Serious Face, you know. So the point was definitely to be a little more lighthearted than Entropy was.
Yeah. And when can we expect Volume 2? That's due April time?
I want to say in March. I was originally trying to shoot for this month, but to be honest with you, I've been writing guest verses. I've been working on videos. We just got Michael's new one out, and I'm working on one for me now. And I'm not going to say for what yet, but I'm going to say it's for something off Serious Face Volume 1. So I'm pushing Volume 2 back to maybe March. Give me a little more time to work on it.
I'm pushing my luck here, and you can refuse to answer if you wish. Would there be any green-skinned elements to that?
Yeah, there might be. There might be. I'll put it like that, you know. So.
Yo, if you ever heard this story, following the story you're about to hear is all motherfucking true.
All true.
True story.
It's also probably been told before.
Probably. But it's good.
But it's never been told like this.
Never.
Thank you, IDW.
Never been told by me like this.
Shout out to Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird. It's pronounced Laird.
Great.
Shout out to B. DeRaza. Keep it up for the Ninja Turtles, y'all.
Hot. Motherfuckers hot on the beat.
Fucking cartoon warriors.
On the beat.
Yo. Rose high over the city called New York. With her brother's crap that runs wild by any store. It was a combination of reincarnation, mutation, previous situations. Here the past resonating, waiting after death breath in a new form. Warriors in green skin, far from the norm, far from the warm arms of his love, Tang Shin. Black guys looked in as he closed him, as he closed wind. His sons were killed, being forced to watch as they blood spilled. Wheeled in that moment and vowed revenge. Ripped doors through time off of every hinge, and so they fell. Hell couldn't quite catch the brothers to become Saki's match. New batch of evil, no sequel from here. Time and meditation made it all clear. The shredder must die, but one tried already. Didn't even know it, but couldn't keep his blade steady. And his master sailing, prevailing in the end. Already had a second, couldn't find a third wind. Couldn't defend another round, pound for pound. Saki reached down, picked his body from the ground. Leonardo locked eyes, tangled from the rooftop. He heard three words before he felt his body drop.
I am unimpressed.
A crash, his trash broke the ball. Beaten, bruised, but lucky to be alive. The dog Leonardo pushed home. Never alone with your family. Subtracted that and subtracted one sanity. Never planned to be away when the freight hit home. Mouse of drones and sinister overtones. Now we lost. Any cost to get farther back. Any information's worth the attack. Gonna track down responsible. Ain't an obstacle big enough. Ain't a mecha mutation too tough. Ain't stopping short of reuniting. Splinter fighting the Foot Clan. A second chance at a last stand, but the sand in the hourglass running thin. So many battles, no strength to defend. Just when it looks like all about to end, Leonardo heard those words again.
I am unimpressed.
Sweating being back to deliver final blows, while Splinter asks forgiveness, falling to foes. But those words drown in the sound of a crash. Four turtles stumble through as the window smashed. Dashed in quick, gotta save our father. Seeing what we do to some others don't bother. Still waves of foot rush in from all sides, while Casey Jones snuck Splinter out to the ride. The tide
can't call if it's turning. Wound in the side, can still feel it burning. But press forward towards the boss. The shredder recognizing already took a loss. But that was one time. Now aligned with brothers against the evil that took away your mother. As a team, build steam with shredder on the ground. Left him with one final sound.
You know, sir. I am unimpressed.
TheUnheardNerd.com.
Again, we'll come on to the videos again later. But going back to you, Michael, and your work with Romero Shaw, how did that come about?
Romero Shaw is somebody I originally knew. He used to post on a message board I posted on. It was Sage Francis's message board. And he's probably most well known for producing a song called Bridal off of one of Sage Francis's albums.
Yeah.
And at the time, we had just started talking about doing an EP together. And the original idea, and this was like 2005 or 6, we had talked about just doing a EP together where I produced 3 songs he rapped on and he produced 3 I rapped on. And then he kind of vanished for a while. He is a very interesting character. He should really write a memoir. he's had a very interesting life. I don't feel like I should necessarily tell the story for him or anything, but he disappeared for several years. He just found me on Twitter one day and was like, "Hey, how's it going, man?" And we were talking back and forth on Twitter, and it was like, "So we're gonna finally do that EP or whatever?" And that's how it happened. We literally did Dust in about a month.
Yeah.
He just sent me a bunch of songs, and that was pretty much that. Byproduct actually was a byproduct of Dust. Like, originally it started out with me making tracks for a little bonus EP for people that bought the game and bought the actual album, and then for people that pre-ordered it, and then it just ended up keep going until it was enough to be its own album.
Sure. And the Brown Coats mixtape that we touched on earlier got you quite a lot of exposure, really. Nathan Fillion, he tweeted about it.
Yeah, he did.
That must have made your week, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was amazing. Like, he tweeted about it, and instantly the site went down because there was so much traffic from people trying to get it that it just shut the site down for like 2 days. But it was awesome. Like, that was. Yeah, it was like suddenly there was huge demand for it. People filled in the blanks on torrents and stuff whenever it was down, so people could still get it.
Again, that mixtape was really my introduction to Adam Warrock.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because, I don't know, sometimes I think artists pass me by, and then it takes something like that really stands out and catches your ear. And it was a mixtape that I absolutely loved from first listen, even though I hadn't watched Firefly or Serenity.
Right.
Which I should point out is obviously what the subject matter is.
Yeah. I consider that some of my best work. Like,
yeah, well, I mean,
as a producer,
prepare to be flattered, because it was the production and the music, which you're responsible for, that actually appealed to me the most.
Oh, thanks.
I love that. And then because of that mixtape, went on and watched the series and the film, which I didn't care for so much, but certainly the series I loved a great deal.
No cause for concern, no cause that would cause me to turn. Sucked a couple dollars of charging me for the work done. Roll with the crew, quick to switch and quick to draw on them too. And switch the sides if the odds favor the other one. My ethical stance as a man in this wasteland is my plan to live longer than the one across the table from me. Heart of gold, protect villagers and hookers the same. You know my name, the first name my parents gave to me. Wild West, Billy the Kid, Buffalo Bill. Tussle with any gunslinger with muscle to spill. No fear in my eyes, no place for you to hide. When I'm chilling in the sniper's nest, hands tremble, you die. And his mama knitted him a cap to keep his head warm, cause the nights out on the fringes are much colder than norm. Y'all know the name, but best whisper it softly in the streets. Let me tell you, case you ever should meet.
Yo, it's all about a boy named Jane, the baddest gunslinger and bandit who robs freighters and trains. Gangsters in the frontier, sky and land the same. Some call him a space cowboy. Yo, it's all about a man named Cobb, as he's standing in the light, silhouette bigger than God. Yo, nowhere to hide, man, there's nowhere to run. He's the man with the gun.
Here, trigger, match my cold exterior. Pull on this real fast, I leave you feeling much drivier. Keep the sheet at the bedside, ask the military bye-bye, so you never have to hide. A lot of pride, mean mugging everywhere I go. Step the Jane wrong, getting thrown out of that window. I'm never slow to anger, see you in danger. Soon as you go trying to be pulling up on that banger, but I let you know, Viva never let me down. Come through, mowing down these clowns, and I have found it's a sound that comes bouncing off these walls as thunder. By the time you hear the crack, it's too late, it's a blunder. You ain't getting out of this alive, still I survive, and you know it's already time. You're gonna die where you stand. I'm taking matters into my own hands, and Bibba knows exactly who it is, the man. Good, bad, I'm the guy with the gun. Dude is never scared to reach out and touch someone, to crush someone. You know what the deal is. Ask the mothers, man, they know what the real is.
Yo, it's all about a boy named Jane, the baddest gunslinger and bandit who robs freighters and trains. Gangsters in the frontier, sky and land the same. Some call him a space cowboy. Yo, it's all about a man named Cobb, as he's standing in the light, silhouette bigger than God. Yo, nowhere to hide, man, there's nowhere to run. He's the man with the gun.
You're my hand, Callahan, full bore. Auto locked, fully cocked, ready for war. I got my customized trigger, double cartridge, thorough gauge. Silent rage when I think about sacrifices made to keep this mercenary sperry from leaving sticks. She more than a six, ending all conflicts. And she's my fix when things get out of hand. Roll straight out the base, soon as serenity land. If you can't do something smart, well, do something right. So I packed enough ammo to last all night. And the fight ain't gonna end till my friend has a word. Shots ringing through the air, yeah, you know that she's heard, but never found. Ground leaper, no traces of the hero. I can't never plant foot in these places. Face is fake, but never the expressions. Ain't the kid had to go for me to learn that lesson, but never stressing long as she by my side. Always ready to ride, ain't got no reason to hide. I carry a gun about as big as the sun, and there ain't a place she can't reach that you could run.
Yo, it's all about a boy named Jane, the baddest gunslinger and bandit who robs freighters and trains. Gangsters in the frontier, sky and land the same. Some call him a space cowboy. Yo, it's all about a man named Cobb, as he's standing in the light, silhouette bigger than God. Yo, nowhere to hide, man, there's nowhere to run. He's the man with the gun.
But yeah, actually, when I rewatch it now, it's interesting to me. Like, I'll notice the musical cues I sample and be like, I don't know. It's a weird thing to rewatch something that you've done a project like that out of. Me and my wife rewatched the last Harry Potter movie the other day because I've been trying to rewatch all the movies while we were finishing up the Slytherin mixtape. Almost every scene in the last Harry Potter movie, I used something from the music, and it was interesting to see what I'm used to hearing us rap on at this point.
And how's that going? Because that was quite delayed due to a computer malfunction and a lost laptop, if I'm correct.
Yeah, it's almost done. I hope to have it done basically by Friday and get the final mixes to Warrock's on the West Coast. So I've basically got to track my vocals for, I think, two more songs. And then it's pretty much done.
Well, I can't wait to hear that. Again, I'm not a fan of Harry Potter. So
really?
No, not at all.
Wow.
My wife is. She has them all. I buy them all for her. But I don't. It doesn't appeal to me.
I didn't. I wasn't really into it initially. And then whenever I met my wife, she got me to watch it. And yeah. I had worked in a bookstore. And I'd had to sell it to little kids. It had been horrible to deal with doing some of the release parties and stuff I had done. And it just totally put me off of the series for a really long time. But now, I honestly think it's like it is the Star Wars of the generation that is growing up with that.
Nice.
Well, it's actually been cool doing the mixtape, because this time I'm actually rapping almost as much as Warrock does on it. Much more. There's only two songs on the whole thing I don't rap on, so I'm excited about being more of a presence on the album. Because a lot of times, even whenever when Brown Cuts came out, like, it was reviewed on all these websites, and it was the most exposure that we'd ever really got for something. But then most of the reviews and stuff didn't even mention me, or they would talk about it as if Warrock had done the music and was the only person on it.
Mm.
That was immensely frustrating. But that's kind of like the role of the producer in rap music, is like, a lot of times people just don't even realize what the producer does on a rap record. They just assume the rapper does everything.
Need to go back and check my review now.
I think you did, but it was like, it was mentioned on some bigger websites. Like,
bigger? What do you mean bigger?
Oh shit!
Well, you know, like, there was sites like Kotaku or whatever.
I know what you mean.
And they just totally omitted me from their reviews. Like, it was on The Escapist. It was on, actually, but Reader's Digest gave me my props, I think.
Oh, now you're justifying it with Reader's Digest.
Reader's Digest gave me my props.
Fair enough. So, Sulfur. you're taking part in the VPC this year.
I sure am.
Yeah, you're not, Michael.
No, I am not.
No, okay, we'll talk to Sulfur then. yeah, so round one done and dusted. Round two almost reaching a completion, I imagine. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. It's going pretty good. I'm actually, why I was a little late to jump on Skype tonight was I was actually recording vocals for that.
Don't make me be responsible for not getting it in on time.
Oh no, this due Sunday, man. I'll have it done tonight. So I just don't want to stress Cecil out too bad. You know, getting the vocals on Saturday night at 2:30 in the morning. So
who are you working with again?
Cecil Nick.
I mean, it's a name I recognize, but not someone whose work I know. I don't think.
He produced a bunch of Walking Dead.
Okay.
He produced some of that, and he mixed that record. So
yeah,
you know, but he was a producer, so I probably skipped over that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh God.
It all comes full circle. It all comes full circle.
Oh damn! I'm excited about this next leg of the VPC. This song I wrote. I wrote it and I listened to a really rough demo last night, and I mean rough because I was trying to bleep out all my own cursing, because on the other side of the door was a 6-year-old going ooh, you know, tripping out. But I was listening to it and I was like, this might be, even though it's supposed to the challenge this time is frivolous, right? Like a frivolous song, you know, which is almost all a serious face, but this might be one of the most evil kind of songs I've ever written. So I'm hoping it works, and I'm hoping I'm not rewatching this on a video with some pearly gates later in my life, you know, where everything went wrong. So
well, I'm looking forward to hearing it. The only problem I have is that the only time I really have to listen to music is while I'm at work. I am a desk jockey from 9 till 6 most days.
Wow.
And but the Nerdcore Now site with all the SoundCloud links just cripples my computer. Well, I'm already running sort of quite memory intensive software for doing accounts with.
Of course.
So yeah, that kind of has to be running. So I haven't really been able to keep up to date with it this year as much as I wanted to. And Stibolish did say that he was going to do a roundup of each round for the website. Yet to see that, Stibolish, if you're listening.
God, that would be so massively painful.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I'm not serious. You know,
it's so many songs. So many songs.
It's overwhelming. It's really overwhelming. I was just going.
Has anyone pulled out yet?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you're going to know about any dropouts until this next leg goes on. And then you're going to see probably, you know, maybe 20 less names, you know, on this round. Maybe not, you know, maybe you'll see all, what was it, 53 on the original?
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, I wasn't sure whether there were any original names that had pitched their name into the hat and then not delivered in the first round. But I guess with so many, it's hard to know.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. That's why I specifically requested to Cecil that our song be 17 minutes long this round. I figured that would flow with everything really nicely, you know?
Easy listening.
Yeah.
There was a lot of big names in it this year. Big names in the nerdcore community. You know, obviously Adam Warrock is in there. I'll mention him again.
Yeah.
Beefy
yeah.
is in it. Names fail me at the moment, but there are a lot of big names in it, a lot of competition. I think it's really good. It's really interesting to see that it's caught the imagination this year far more than it did last year.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. I like seeing the involvement from everybody, you know, from names to people that don't have an established name yet. I mean, just all in the same, on the same running, you know what I'm saying? All in the same competition. And I mean, some of the people that don't have established names are some of the people that are on top, you know. Yeah, you know, like War Rock, and I think he was on top initially to begin with, and got shuffled around a little bit. I think he was still like two or three last I checked, even. I don't want to admit too loudly that I haven't kept up with it like I should, you know, but it's good, man. I'm really enjoying it. So I'm trying to think, man, Secret Cloud, the man of many names, he's up on there too. He had a dope song his last round, but for the life of me, I don't know his new alias, so.
Yeah. Rift.
Yeah,
Rift.
I don't know.
There we go. There we go. Yeah. With a civilian, right?
I think so.
Again, he's you know, he's a talented guy, isn't he?
He's one of the guys from Swamp Thing.
Yeah, yeah, the Canadian contingent. one of which you've worked with, Sulfur, Garth in Master.
That's actually Rift. That's who I'm talking about. So that dude is like rap's secret agent, man. He has like 8 or 9 aliases, I swear. Like
he changes his name every single release he does.
Yeah.
Which is the worst idea you could possibly have. And I've told him that. I mean, he knows I've told him that.
There've been some name changes lately that I'm not happy with. Wirefixerson has changed to Raptor Man.
Yeah, he will always be Wirefixerson.
And yeah. We had such a unique name.
Yeah, Wirefixerson was a good rap name, and that is what I will continue.
I don't know, man. Raptor Man, that's mad lousy right
there. But there you go. Anyway, if you were going to change your names, what would you change your rap names to?
I've had Severus Black as like an alter ego I've had about
quite like that,
10 or 11 years, I guess. I used to put out songs as Severus Black, and he was basically me at 17. Complete asshole.
Do you not use that? You mentioned that on You Dare Call That Thing
Human? Yeah. Well, the whole song Booster Gold's about this guy who goes, he's this character who travels back in time to do awesome things in the past to make himself look awesome in the future, basically. Like he does good things, but he does them for very selfish reasons. But he the whole dealing with that, it's like Severus Black come back to the past. But yeah, I referenced that. Eugene had no idea what the hell I was talking about when I was like, I love that line, but I have no idea what the hell it means.
Favorite rapper's favorite rapper. That is, if your favorite rapper is me, I can't deny it. Nobody's doper, nobody's badder. I'm not only the president of my fan club, I'm a client.
Oh, what?
You was thinking I'd be humble and shit when all these people keep on telling me they love what I spit. You get a big head too if you live the life that I did too after you done the stuff that I've been through. I'm from the future, I already got proof of how dope this album was. Past tense, facts down in the record books. I traveled back in time just to spit a hook about how awesome I am and grab Kill, that's my super buddy. Born in Gotham City, though I'm based in Metropolis, and these people ain't ready, so nobody is stopping us. Call me Michael John Carter if you gotta, but you know when I'm gripping the mic, I'm about that Booster Gold. Give me the mic, make you lose control, because you love it when I do it full Booster Gold.
Give me the mic and make you lose control, cause you love it when I do it full Booster Gold.
Give me the mic, make you lose control, because you love it when I do it full Booster Gold.
Give me the mic and make you lose control, cause you love it when I do it full Booster Gold.
Sometimes that good guy, he's got some weird motivations. Messing up your program, smash the leaders of 7 nations. A sensation, blowing up the internet. Big fish, small pond,
you ain't even wet.
My cool set to put the world on smash. Adam got that infinity gauntlet stacking piles of cash. You don't understand my wordplay or my hustle. Trying to step up, yo, don't move a muscle. It ain't all hate, I got discerning taste. Wanna be but more than your mic pass. You born late, snatch your larynx, man. Right up out of your face. You can't be old school when you're born in like 88. We came to grip the front page like election scams. Leave you longing to go home like River Tam. That's it, next
next year, new 52, messing up the game like DC Comics, dude. Give me the mic, make you lose control, because you love it when I do it full boost to go. Give me the mic, make you lose control, cause you love it when I do it full boost to go. Give me the mic, make you lose control, because you love it when I do it full boost to go. Give me the mic, make you lose control, cause you love it when I do it full boost to go.
It's like Nerdcore's in the Justice League, then fans been admiring my hustle, see. Some haters are disgusted when I show my teeth, so Kill, won't you dust bust my shoulders, please? You hopelessly love every minute and second of when I'm wrecking the mic consecutively. You can't believe that I came onto the scene. I made a scene because I mean I'm so ahead of my time on just my second LP.
Yo, I get opinionated, dish it to your face like Alan Moore. People like, who's that light devil dinosaur? They whisper behind my back, spread in that folklore. Put it in my Twitter feed, I don't even care anymore. So here we go, pre-planning combined with skill. Fences is like these men we define real. Michael Kill, also known as Severus Black. 30 years in the game, but I forget you ever seen it yet. Either easy to get along with or hard to kill. Join the core, just so I can take it over for real. And here I am, picture snapping while I'm super rapping, smiling for the camera while your girlfriend's on you hopping round clapping.
Give me the mic, make you lose control, because you love it when I do it full boost to go.
Give me the mic, make you lose control, cause you love it when I do it full boost to go.
Give me the mic, make you lose control, because you love it when I do it full boost to go.
Give me the mic and make you lose control, cause you love it when I do it full boost to go.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the past, come may have your attention, please.
But I mean, I like the Michael Kill that you used because it's a play on your on your name, and the spelling of Kill is a brand in itself.
Yeah, I've used it since I was like 12 or 13. I originally came up with it because I needed a name on AOL Instant Messenger, basically.
Yeah,
and that's how I started using Michael Kill, or at least the Kill part.
Yeah. What about you, Sulfur? What name would you use if you had a different rap persona?
I'd probably use the name that I wanted to use when I was like 13 years old, which was probably Melee. I used to incessantly tag bathrooms with that shit, you know, when I was a teenager, and I would have rapped under it, but I found a punk band. I believe they're punk. I actually never even listened to their music. I was so fucking mad to find out it was taken, but you know, they had beat me to it, so I am Sulfur.
I used to be in a sort of punk rock band called Headstrong, and you wouldn't believe how many bands called Headstrong there are in the world. We exchanged nasty emails with some band in Canada, and of course they didn't give a shit. And why would they? videos. Michael, you've just released your video for Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah, most Smash Brothers video.
Is it Super? It's just Smash Brothers, sorry.
Yeah, just Smash Bros.
Which leads me to a question. For someone you might know, and you've probably seen this on Twitter already, Siler H, is that how you say it?
Oh, yeah, Siler is Hagen. He's the Sonic the Hedgehog in the video.
Exactly, and he asked this question. What's your deal with Sonic, and why did you have to hurt him in Michael's new video?
Well played, Siler.
Well, the concept of the song originally came from, because with Byproduct, I let people suggest things. And this girl who goes by Max Power on Facebook, she suggested that I do a Mario versus Sonic song. And that made me think of Smash Brothers and how they're in that fighting game. And that was more or less the whole idea, is that, like, you know, Sonic, I thought Sonic was a terrible character in Smash Brothers. The song itself is something of a period piece, because, I mean, whenever I was a kid, it was a very big thing, the Sega versus Nintendo. Either you were representing Nintendo or the Genesis. And that sort of came into play when I was writing the song. I was thinking in those terms. I don't actually hate Sonic the Hedgehog. I'm not as big a I've never beaten a Sonic game, and I'm not a huge fan of Sonic games, but I don't actually think they're bad games or that Sonic deserves to be pummeled endlessly.
That whole Sega versus Nintendo thing was massive here as well. Yeah. I assume I'm of roughly the same age as you. And
it was the Jay-Z versus Nas of its day.
It was huge. Yeah, it was. but I always fell on the side of the Sega side.
Oh, really?
Where over here I had a Mega Drive as opposed to a Genesis.
Yeah.
And you had to shave off bits of your Mega Drive to get the foreign games to play in it because the cartridges were a different shape.
Yeah,
But I tell you why I fell on the side of Sega. It's purely down to advertising. In my school canteen, where we had lunch, they had massive Sega posters, and they were really inappropriate if you look at them from today's perspective. Because it was, there was the classic "Do me a favor, plug me into Sega," but there was also "It takes 7 pints to be this good," and it was somebody pissing Sega into snow.
Nice.
You know what? If they had those posters over here, Michael might have been rapping.
Well, it was interesting because it was even then the whole thing was to paint Nintendo as this kiddie company.
Yeah.
And to a degree, I guess there's stuff that didn't come out in America that came out in Japan. Like the only Miyamoto game that never came out in the States was a game where you're basically like a demon. And there's all these upside down crosses and shit all through the game because you're basically like going through hell or something.
Right. Yeah.
Like, but that never came out in America because Nintendo of America would definitely not have that shit. so you know.
What about you, Sulfur? Which side of the fence did you fall on?
I was definitely Nintendo, man. I hate to break it to you, but
I had a feeling it might go that way.
Yeah. I mean, still to this day, Super Nintendo is my favorite game system of all time, period. You're just not going to beat it. So,
yeah.
That's definitely where I was at.
Yeah, Super Nintendo is probably still my favorite, too, honestly.
I'm going to make an admission that I've never owned a Nintendo console of any kind.
Really?
That's not to say I haven't played Nintendo, because, I had the Sega Mega Drive Genesis and the Game Gear handheld console when that came out, but we had a shop or a store in the town I went to school in, and you could rent a console for an hour, for 2 hours, whatever. They had a room with all the consoles in, and you just pay a certain amount of money, go in and play the console, whatever game they had in the store. So we used to rent Nintendos.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, best of both worlds.
Yeah.
That's what's up. I used to be jealous that Sega would have like the uncensored like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. But, that was a big one.
definitely. That was the closest thing that really started putting Sega over the edge was like they put the blood code on the home consoles and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't even think they had a code for it. I think it was just there.
Not with the first game.
Oh, okay.
The first game you had to have the code. And you had to call a phone number to get the code unless somebody gave it to you.
Damn.
How we used to live.
First Mortal Kombat. Yeah, the Super Nintendo didn't have a blood code, but the second game had blood in it, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
they do.
Okay, next question came from, and I don't know if you know this person, Dave Riskbreaker Cunningham.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Dave actually lives in Charlotte, so he's at some of our shows and stuff.
Well, I don't know why he's messaging me on Facebook. He could have just come and seen you and asked you this question. Well, he asked. I'm grateful that he did. he asked a couple of questions, three questions really. Two of which we've covered, which was how did you meet and how did you get into nerdcore? But we haven't really covered that, but I think we'll come to that in a minute. But he wants to know who'd win in a street fight, presumably between yourselves.
I would. Sorry, Michael.
After breaking my wrist at South by or at Nerdapalooza, and then just generally not staying in shape in any capacity.
No, that's a good excuse.
It's probably a fair assumption.
Okay. Yeah. And then there's this guy, I don't think any of us know him. His name's Beefy.
Oh, Beefy?
Yeah.
He just wants to know who's bigger. The fans want to know.
Well, one of us is bigger around and the other's longer. So.
All right. So that was the questions diplomatically answered. So I mean, we touched on from Dave Risk Breaker. I don't know where he gets that from. That's interesting.
Risk Breaker?
No, Risk.
I've never.
R-R-I-S-K.
That's his Facebook name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's from. It might be from an anime or something. I don't know.
But yeah, he touched on how did you get into nerdcore? What made you choose to make music associated with nerdcore?
It wasn't like a conscious decision because we had kind of already been doing. Like, one album that you didn't mention was our first album that's been out of print for a while, and by the Thought Criminals, and it already had Nintendo's all over the beats, and already had chiptune elements, and we didn't really have to change what we were doing. Nerdcore sort of discovered us after we played a show with MC Frontalot, and Hipster Please was there. And Z, he was there, and Front Skies introduced us to him, and he wrote about the show and talked about, he compared us to Optimus Rhyme and stuff. And like, I knew Front a lot, but I didn't really know really anybody beyond him that was calling themselves nerdcore at the time. I knew some guys like I knew who Lars was, and I knew who Whitey Cracker was, but they were already, well, Whitey Cracker, I guess, still calls himself nerdcore, but he wasn't putting out music regularly at the time, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah.
But basically, we just, like, the community discovered us through all that, and we just sort of got absorbed that way.
It was such a natural fit, too, you know, because, I mean, we didn't change anything going into that show or, you know, anything going forward. But like Michael said, literally pretty much all of his beats had Nintendos over them. That was like a staple of his. There was points where I even pulled him to the side, but mentioned to him back in the day, hey, man, you ever going to make a beat without a Nintendo in it? You know, and he never would. And, you know, we wrote songs about, like, you know, Ninja Turtles. I've been doing that for a while in video games and whatnot, without ever realizing, you know, what we're doing is essentially nerdcore.
Yeah.
You know.
So. Yeah, I guess even the one of the first songs Sean had written when we started hanging out was his Turtles song. He had that before we even did anything. It was the original demo was over an MF Doom beat.
Yeah.
And then on the original This Is Not an Entrance has a song I wrote on it in 2004, 2005 called The Walking Dead, which was based on the comics. And that was way predates even the Thought Criminals as it is now. And it just, stuff like that has always been in our music. It just was a matter of, we didn't know that there were so many other people doing it. And then once we started being called nerdcore, then we researched it and started, like, learning about other groups. And, you know, that's resulted in some of my close friends, like Dolcore and Adam Warrock and, you know, Beefy and all those guys. Like,
yeah,
now we're immersed thoroughly.
Do you worry that you're pigeonholing yourself by, you know, associating so heavily?
No, not really. I mean, you know, like, Dust is a massively depressing indie rap record, and it's also, like, got songs about the anime Big O on it, and I call myself the Dragonborn on songs and stuff. And it's, I mean, rap in and of itself is a very nerdy enterprise. Like,
true.
You're a guy who's obsessed with words, or a girl who's obsessed with words. But, you know, rappers are people obsessed with words and language and telling stories. And that means they're not as hard as they might present themselves. They're poets of sorts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, rap is a pretty nerdy thing.
Well, check the vocabulary in the rapper, you know what I'm saying? That might might give you a window to the nerdiness in there. But, I mean, listen to Deltron 3030 and tell me that's not a nerdcore album.
Yeah.
You know, whether Del intended it that way or not, I mean, that's my favorite nerdcore album of all time right there. You know,
what influences you in nerdcore? What artists influence you or have changed your outlook in any way?
Man, I'm old, so it's rare that anybody changes my outlook exactly. But I mean, my favorite nerdcore album, what I might think is my favorite nerdcore album ever, is probably War for Infinity by Warrock.
Nice.
I don't actually think any and he knows I feel this way, so I don't feel weird putting it out there, but I don't think any of the rest of his catalog competes with that record. Like, that record is, it was directly inspired by Prince Paul's Prince Among Thieves, which is one of the best hip-hop concept records ever, maybe the there's not a lot of competition, I guess, as far as, like, big operatic concept hip hop albums, but yeah. But like that album, it's such a great fusion of like classic hip hop production and flows, but you know, adopting comic book storytelling into it. Like that's one that I loved. It's hard to say who's really like changed my outlook or anything though. People influenced me to want to make like dope new music, but
yeah,
it's hard to say.
Let me word it a different way then. Who do you listen to when you're listening to Marco?
generally I listen to the people I'm friends with the most. Like there's, you know, Frontalot is like the big one. Obviously Dualcore, their album Next Level is one of my favorite records of the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. Warrock, like I already mentioned, although I listen to more like War for Infinity, like I said. Beefy, his album with Sprinkles is amazing.
Mm. Yes, sir.
Our friends at Illbots from Virginia. God, I feel like I'm forgetting a ton of stuff, but those are some of my favorite records just from the past couple of years, even.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, like, not even nerdcore, just in general.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's true.
And Sulfur, what do you listen to?
You know, Michael named a lot of the names off, but the people around me, they kind of inspire me on different levels in different ways. You know, like we're friends with Adam Warbach, and I'm a fan of his music as well. But there's things that he has done that just inspire the hell out of me as an artist. You know, like when he had his laptop, MacBooks, and him and his girl had them both stolen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he came up with his 24-hour rapathon, flipped it into getting both him and his girl MacBooks and over like $2,000 to donate to Rain.
Yeah.
You know, like stories like that are fucking incredible. And that shit inspires me. And, you know, Adam can flip songs quick. You know, that's dope to me. Dualcore, when N80's on stage, you feel his energy, man. You feel his persona. He's a super nice dude. And like on a live show basis, like that shit inspires me. So there's all different kinds of draws from different areas. Whitey Cracker's Not Giving a Fuck is amazing. Ask Michael about South by Southwest.
Oh, yeah. Whitey Cracker chased us down the street with his dick out. I guess I didn't mention Schaefer the Dark Lord. I actually don't listen to his albums like a ton. Because I don't think they compete with his live show. Him live is so amazing. He might be my very favorite live performer.
Wow.
Like he is so amazing live. And I didn't mention Jesse Dangerously. Jesse Dangerously is obviously a nerdcore OG.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
And I do listen. I actually, it is funny though. I didn't listen to Jesse. I've known Jesse for 10 or more years. I didn't listen to his music until after I got more into Frontalot, actually. That was more or less what made me start listening to his music.
I think I first came across Jesse on an MC Lars track, No Logo.
Yeah.
And I was blown away by his delivery on that, and that made me look up more. And he's just a really nice guy to deal with.
Yeah.
His track, Slept Through a Landslide.
We did that on tour together where me and Tribe One added some vocal improvisations to the string breakdown in the song.
But it's a beautiful song, and I really liked the way it was constructed and put together. And so I wrote about it on the website saying I think it's a really beautiful track. And then he on Twitter, when I posted about it, he just got back to me and said, well, you should ask me about the story behind it. And so I did. I emailed him with some questions about the song and pieced together what I could gather from the lyrics and from what he'd mentioned and what he'd put on his blog and whatever. And he came back with answers, just a fucking essay of an interview. And it was awesome. So I absolutely love him for that. He's a really, really nice guy. Sorry, I'm rambling a bit about Jesse Dangerously.
Oh, no, it's cool.
Okay, so I think we're almost near the end of this. We've been going some time now, but I do want to ask, what does the future hold for the Thought Criminals? We've touched on what you're working on, Michael, and we've touched on what you're working on, Sulfur. But what's in store for fans of the Thought Criminals, of you two together?
I don't know yet. We've been talking about finishing the EP. Like, the Game Changer EP was just four songs from the album we've been working on off and on for a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
We just haven't had time to really focus on it and figure out the rest of the direction of it. And some of the beats we had from it are so old, it's kind of like, I don't know if we need to just start over or what, because I don't know. and now people have heard like four of the most representative tracks from the album. So
yeah.
I don't know. I would kind of like to do an album where I didn't produce it, like for the Thought Criminals. And I mean, like the Game Changer EP, three of those beats were done by Adam Baum from New Orleans. I really like the sound of that, but it was a lot different than my conventional production style, which is so 90s hip hop.
Yeah.
it was a lot more like dirty South, weird glitch hop stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I would kind of like to do something that somebody else produced, but we still have, I mean, we probably have at least four or five other songs we recorded for that album then, even that just never got totally wrapped up.
Yeah. Maybe even more than that, to be honest.
Yeah. So there's stuff to the album they'll still be in, you know, the next album. It'll come when it's ready.
You just fucking wait, people.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like I said that about the Slytherin mixtape too. Like, it's like we could have had it done in a week, but we weren't going to just shit it out. We were going to wait until it was ready. So
yeah, fair play. Okay, so Michael's got the Slytherin House mixtape coming out with Adam Warrock and Sulfur. You've got Serious Face Volume 2 imminently. Thanks a lot, guys. Anything you want to pimp? Anything you want to hype?
No.
Okay. Check out that new Michael Kill video. How about that?
That new video is really good. It was directed by Sulfur, and it is ridiculous.
And you can find that at theunheardnerd.com.
Yes, you can.
And follow Michael and Sulfur as well. Michael is at Killmatic, and it's KHILLMATIC. And Sulfur is absolutely nothing like his rap name, Aborted Clone. I'm not even going to touch on why that's all.
I don't know what to answer if you did, so it's all
well. But Michael Sulfur, thank you ever so much for joining me. It's been a lot of fun, and
thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I look forward to the new solo projects and anything that comes from the Thought Criminals soon.
Stopping spin of infinity, leaving vicinity uninhabitable, because neither side living is more palatable. This is 45, and that bell is drawn, it's ringing, blast shines brighter than dawn, then it's gone. The beginning of the end, souls rising everywhere, little boy to sin. From Manhattan to the form of man, patent stands to strike hardest, echo from Japan and Lake Dormant, inform its random rush of Rosenberg's year. You know we crushed them, now we rush the arms race, keep pace or die. Never learn to discern, only to reply. Can't vote, prevent, and prepare, so we prepare to destroy beyond repair. Or where we succeeded when them sirens rang, and we claim victory, dropping them fangs. Now the fangs buried in our neck, but you can bet that we kept them all in check. By riggedy wrecking ourselves, never reflecting on health, with objections on the shelf, there's no need for stealth. Scream, this is all year, all time to thrive. Damn, it feels good to be alive. 1945, live and direct from Trinity. The bombs we drop and stop and spin of infinity. Leaving vicinity uninhabitable, because neither side living is more palatable. This is 45, and that bell is drawn, it's ringing, blast shines brighter than dawn, then it's gone. The beginning of the end, souls rising everywhere, fat man to sin. Amends, please, no apologies, vaporizing casualties to test technologies. Never freeze the coldness in this war, watch them all scurry as that black rain pour. And we swore this would be that one time, this would be our true side. While refined uranium enriches black markets, just waiting for a conflict to spark it. Talking as many as you wish, keep pressing buttons till we're halted up in this bitch. Every stitch predestined to unravel, since the day you know the gate dropped the first gavel. Judge not, lest ye be judged, lest ye be the focus of that grudge. Waited long for this moment to arrive, now let's see if you can survive. 1945.
I have asked whether in the years to come it will be possible to kill 40 million American people in the
20 largest American towns by the use of atomic bombs in a single night. I'm afraid that the answer to that question is yes.
Less worth it. These days it takes me places I don't even know if I deserve it. But there's moments nobody understands the hurt, and rather be with my kids than standing here blurting words that people who might never understand. The things that I say or the way that I am, I hear a little girl's voice on the phone and understand it. Girl, you do come first, and you're too little to get it. I know it's the worst, and that's why I have to do this. I can't stop, oh, harder till my heart finally stops. And when you're finally old enough to understand, hope you find it in your heart to forgive your old man.
Hush, hush, little baby, don't you cry.
I'll be home soon, I swear it.
Hush, hush, little baby, don't you cry.
I'll be home soon. I was on my way to Brooklyn with the tears in my face. She said to come home, but I was too far for that place. I was driving through the snow, tires took me further away. Talking about the fire level, wanted me to play. And I heard the way that you was frantic in your voice. One day you'll understand it's not that easy of a choice. Yeah, cut deep, laid awake all night, thinking about it with no sleep. But in this life you pay for everything. I do this for you, I do it for us, I do it for me too. But it's not all selfish, hope you haven't forgot that yes, it's true. Your daddy was a dream, but your daddy was always true. When it comes down to it, you're gonna carry your own dream, and you get to decide for yourself what that means. Don't be scared to throw rocks at the throne. It's just a matter of time till daddy gets back home.
Hush, hush, little baby, don't you cry.
I'll be home soon, I swear it.
Hush, hush, little baby, don't you cry.
I'll be home soon.
UnheardNerd.com
Sorry, like, I've lost you. Like, there. Can you? Sorry, you just broke. Oh, can you hear me? I can hear you now. Yeah, sorry, you just broke up.
Sweet. And Sulfur and this guitarist Kevin Morgan. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Yeah. If you just okay. Go back to yeah, it was always meant to be just, you know, you and Sulfur and.
Yeah.
Sorry, Michael, I've lost you again.
Are
you there?
Oh, can you hear me?
Okay, yeah. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's my Wi-Fi or what, but every now and again I just lose it. But
it might be mine. I don't know. I've had
it happens to me.
Spotty internet.
It happens to me all the time.
My favorite part is I can hear you both crystal clear when you can't hear each other.